would like to see whether we can explore some basic understanding so that we may step into this exploration rightly. First, let's find out what is that we are exploring. However you look at it, it seems to be we are exploring to either find personal fulfillment, meaning, happiness, a disease-less state psychologically and emotionally. We must first lay that down. What is that we are exploring? If not, we may go on a search of something we may not care about. Let's ask that question. Are we exploring that? To ourselves. Not to the speaker, to ourselves. Are we exploring that? Are we clear that we are exploring that? You see, life is rather entertaining. Have you watched life? It's quite entertaining. We have dramas, we have events. Our life is so full of stuff, isn't it? The shower breaks down, the washer doesn't work, the garbage man went on strike, and the wife ran away with the neighbor. It's either ours or somebody else. And many times, in this kaleidoscope of events, we rather lose focus on what actually we are seeking. Because it's so dynamic. If you watch life, it's very dynamic. We have a headache and suddenly say, I want my headache to go away, and then you have a toothache, and then so on and so on and so on. So we appear lives to be a kaleidoscope of happening, and having observed that, we are asking this question, what are we exploring? What are we seeking? We have to become very clear of that. Completely clear. What are we exploring first? Am I exploring just to make myself feel better? There are medicines available for that. This meditation is unnecessary. So we're asking the question of the question. What are we exploring? If you watch, if you've been observant, people live out wanting to express their anger, their protest. Have you seen? I want to change the world. I'm angry of the tyranny that is happening. Even though it's a noble cause, but the source in which it's moved is anger. Somebody said, I haven't had enough in my life. I want to have something. I've watched the Lovers commercial and I want some of that. So they move in that direction. I'm placing how we are so we may observe it, so we become very critical. Or we may have a dream of something perfect. And we may choose a life trying to fulfill that perfection. Right, Jeff? Look at it. So we are exploring our brain, how we are moving in this life. What are we seeking? What are we exploring? And we are, all these facets are dynamically at play. Then we become 30 pounds overweight, and then we look at somebody who has got all his six-pack still intact. And we say, yeah, I need to get that, maybe. And there's this confusion. So we're going to put the confusion aside. It exists when you step out of this door, but we're going to put it aside. We're going to ask ourselves, what is that we are exploring, really? Or we have not even paid attention to that. What are we exploring? Are we exploring to be happy? It sounds ridiculous to me. It's too small. What are we exploring? What are we seeking? Because we seem to be seeking. We seem to be seeking. We move, we look, we search, we participate. In this kaleidoscope of distraction, there is also something pushing us somewhere, seeking something. We must even question, is what is seeking? What is seeking? And what is it seeking? What is it seeking? Just questioning. It's part of meditation, is to question, to look at it. Not to be stuck in a question, but to question. So we are looking, right, sir? We are looking at ourselves. We are asking this question. What am I doing? Where am I going? Because very easily I can be distracted in life. I once met somebody who had 8 kids. And I said, wow, 8 kids. She looked at me and said, wow, 8 kids. And she said, I also don't know how it got here. She said, all I knew is met this man in a bar and we had a drink. And the next I blink, I open up, I had 8 kids. It appears to be our life. It appears to, because it's so full of stuff happening. So full of stuff happening. But we're going to take a moment and ask, what is that? What is life means to me? What am I exploring in this life? Because I detect there is a movement. I seek it in my relationship. I seek it in my goals. I seek it in my love. I seek it in my protest. What am I exploring? What am I seeking? You see, as a kid, you know what's the beautiful part? We were not seeking anything. That lollipop and that baseball bat was rather fulfilling. But somewhere the exploration began. And this is not just you nor me. Across the board of humanity, so it appears to be a human phenomenon. We are all moving towards something. I'm wondering what is that? Before we even start trying to find an answer, an understanding for it, what are we exploring? Because until that is not touched, I'm not going to be fulfilled. The non-fulfillment is what makes me move, if you follow. So I'm asking that question to myself. Honestly, what am I seeking? What am I seeking? Well, there are two categories of people. One who's seeking, another one who's given up seeking. But both are from the point of seeking. One is for, one is against, but still for. Still the same subject. Maybe, can I inject something? Could it be we are seeking ourselves? Could it be? I want to make a long story short. Because this can go 5 days, we can go into this question. Could it be we are seeking ourselves, sir? Could it be? Do not want to provide you an answer, just a suggestion for your exploration. Could it be we are seeking ourselves? Because sometimes when we find somebody we love, we feel good. Follow this. We feel good. Maybe the other recognizes, through the other's eye, we find ourselves. Maybe that's the definition of true love, when somebody can see you for you, and you can see the other for them. I'm just injecting, just you may explore. Could it be, man? That I'm trying to find me, in this distracting world, maybe rather confused, I'm elsewhere. Could it be? Because it appears when I came back home to me, life appears to be very fulfilling. Well, that is the speaker's experience. Could it be? But we got to nail this. We got to nail this, Madhuri. What am I seeking? Wealth, that's external of me. That is good. I like nice cars, nice houses. I enjoy those stuff. But we know it's external. And we have enough maturity in our civilization to we know that is not all of it. I can buy the most expensive bed, but it doesn't seem to change the quality of my sleep. The sleep seems to be very individual. Sometimes in the most uncomfortable bed, you have the best sleep. So we are asking this question. What am I exploring and I'm injecting? Could it be ourselves in this realm? In rather personal gratification, personal fulfillment. Am I seeking to see me? Could it be? Could it, Peter?
That's a possibility.
Okay, good. That is a possibility. If I am not seeking me to come back to me, what else can I be seeking? I may have the whole world, but if I don't have me, I have nothing, isn't it? It appears so. If I have me, if I don't have the world, I still have all. It appears to be so, just following on the discussion. So can I say a lot of our activities seems to be somehow trying to come home, which we have lost the skill to do so. I'm just speeding up the process. See whether it resonates with you. Now, if at all I'm interested in coming home to myself, I must recognize it so, sir. The speaker's view when he fell in love, which he did, still is I found me in the other. The other became a conduit for me to come back to me. The love that I experienced was not only towards the other, but also in me finding me gave birth to the capacity to love the other. Because when the other could recognize me, I could recognize me. In recognizing me, my love burst forth. But it appears rather juvenile. Fun, but because I still need the other to recognize me. You understand? There's nothing wrong. I'm very grateful. But the point we are coming to is, it appears the life effort seems to be me coming back to me to recognize me, and we also know one has a great fear in doing so. The fear is, when I find me, I might not like me. Right? So it's a very treacherous journey. Because when I find me, when I come back to me, I may not like me. And the trouble of me not liking me is I have to live a loveless life. And that's rather painful. But let's come back to it. Could it be that which seeks within me is seeking itself to recognize itself? Could it be possible? Could it be possible? I want us to get there. Maybe I can give you some insights into that. It's all good. The fan. This is the only country where outside is -1 and inside is 27. Slowly. Could it be, madam? Just paying attention. And maybe we walk around trying to find somebody that we feel safe so we may discover ourselves, because we live in a society that harshly judges us. Could it be? Maybe that's the safety we look for. Maybe that is why we are so not willing to come to see ourselves. So if I take this and go, just follow the thought. Could it be my entire effort is for me to come to see me and be rested in that and to be okay with that? Could it be, Abra? See whether that touches you. This in the East, the process of going through this is known as meditation, if you have ever heard of that word. And the physical expression of meditation is yoga. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. It seems to be the way. Thus, when I undertake it, I'm undertaking it with this deep awareness that I want to get in touch with me, I want to recognize me, I want to come home to me. it is possible. But for that, I must pass through the fear of what I might find, because it might be something I might not like. So one must be utterly courageous. One must completely be fearless. If not, we cannot do this. Right, sir? Very good. Maybe that's why we invent a distraction, so we don't have to confront ourselves. Maybe, I'm just suggesting. Okay, moving along. So for me to come to me, what is required for me to fall back to me? It appears what is required is a mind which is silent. Because a noisy mind takes you away from you. A thought takes you away from the thinker. A thought is a movement. It's always about something outward. Even when you're thinking about you, it's still an outward happening. So if I want to fall back to me, what I need to undertake is, I need to silence the mind so all movement outward ceases. There is no outward movement. So I fall within. Courageously, just being that which I am. Let's see, madam. Do you know why love is so good, madam? It gives you safety so you can be you. Because we must acknowledge we live in a very uncivilized, unpolite world where we judge each other so harshly, with consequence. Thus, whether you are allowed to ever be you is highly questionable. We are suspicious. So we are exploring. For me to fall back to me, completely coming back to me, my mind must be completely silent. Why? Because the mind is what takes me outside of me. Thinking is something else. Thinking is a process of engaging the brain. You think something through. But thoughts, it is the thing that connects. You're sitting here and you're thinking about your home, so you're no more here. Takes you away. And it appears these thoughts are there to avoid us from confronting us. So thought serves a purpose. So I may not look upon me. Right, sir? Okay. So, when I can see my internal movement appears to be for me to come back to me, I recognize thoughts and mind must be rendered completely inactive. When the thoughts and mind are inactive, which is means a movement outward ceases, I seem to fall within. In that falling within, I recognize me. For me. And the state of self-recognition is healing. Whenever you recognize you, you transform. You see, if you know you are lazy, you're not going to do anything about it. When you recognize it, something starts happening. When you know you are sad, nothing happens, you know. When you can recognize the sadness, an alchemical process happens within you. The sadness starts vanishing. Thus, for this, the arduous thing to do is the habit of being connected to outward. Thus, I undertake the process of no mind. I learn to withdraw the mind so I can come back to myself. If you see a yogi practicing yoga, he is actually undertaking that. He is doing the postures by withdrawing the mind and coming home to him. He is coming to contact with this wholeness. Wholeness is present when I'm not outward, when I'm back home. And somehow, whenever I come home, I am blissful. It is the strangest thing. I am happy. I feel complete. I have this sense that my life has been purposeful. This was the experience of the speaker. Whenever I fell within very accidentally, due to something or other, the feeling that followed me afterward was, if I die now, my life has been good. It felt like that. Sometimes you have it in love moments. Or I don't know whether you, whatever sports you do, and something. Ah, it has been good. Life has been good. It's good. My assumption, is still an assumption, is that is how you must begin living. That life is fulfilled moment to moment. That fulfillment must move. Right now, frustration is moving. Do you follow? But the question that facing us is, am I ready to face me? That seems to be the question that is popping up. Am I ready to face me? The answer would be, for many, it will be very fearful. I'm afraid. Why? Why would you be afraid? Because it's just going to be you. Whatever it may be, it's going to just be you. How can that be a fearful experience, isn't it? Could it be? Just follow along. Why would I be afraid to meet me? Why? Why would I be afraid? Because maybe because I carry an idea of how I should be, is it? Could have been planted to you by moralists, how you should be. So in order for me to do this successfully, I must drop the idea how I should be and see what is, isn't it, Jeff? I cannot project idea of how it should be. Maybe our upbringing did that to us. Our mothers say, you should be this. Maybe that's the initial corruption to the brain that makes us afraid to see what we are, because we may lose their love. And we were dependent on them for survival. Possible, I'm just injecting. As we examine this, as we look at this and kind of ponder over it, we can see the ridiculousness of it. We can see the nonsensicalness of it. Like, come on, what am I doing? If I don't face me, who's going to face me? I call this exercise the sacred work. That's my word for it. The sacred work, Jeff, is you coming to meet you and having the skill to do so and surviving it. The sacred work seems to be a journey of me meeting me without an idea, an assumption, a pre-decision. That means me purely looking at me, and I can tell you of a person who has passed that path. You're going to like what you see. In the beginning, you would see something that may disappoint you. It's because of the shoots. But when you really see you, you would love you. It seems to be the truth I have seen to most of my students and disciples. Whenever they come home, they cannot believe how beautiful they are. Thus, your suffering based on you must be bogus, isn't it? You will love you. You will catch you right. The movement away from it is the wrong. The avoiding it is the wrong. Thus, if you can grasp a little bit of this discussion, you make a commitment to face you. The sacred work is not to add anything to you, nothing at all, not even to give you a teaching. It's just to give the tool the space in which you fall within you and you come to see you. And you know what is one of the beauty? When you first layer, you will come to see you as a creator, which is what the mastery meditation helps you to awaken. You come to see you are a creator. that the way you choose to see you or avoid seeing you becomes the reality you live by. Then you have the freedom to live how you want to live. Then you can create wealth, whatever you want to create. You see, madam, if you really explore out there, really you take some time and detach and look at people, they are struggling to find a way to accept them. Have you seen that? Some people think maybe if I make $1 billion, I'll accept me. Somebody thinks maybe, I don't know, you figure it out. It is actually a challenge of them accepting them. Have you sat with somebody who's bragging? He knows you don't care what he's talking about. He's bragging to himself. I always tell people, stop impressing yourself. He is not talking to you. He's actually talking to himself and hoping he will believe it. Do you know what's the difference between a good politician and a bad politician? A good politician lies and he knows he's lying. The bad politician lies and believes in his lie. Something like that, right, madam? So now, if you dismiss it and say, I will take that responsibility of me accepting me, of seeing me, of transforming me, I'm not going to give it to nobody. It is mine and mine alone. You have undertaken the sacred work. Then you fall within self-recognition, you fall within you. Then you see you. And the first sight is you are the creator. The second sight, you are the explosion. You are the miracle. This is what I have seen, or my students have explored it. The first sight that you will see you is as a creator. The next is as the miracle maker. You are magic. You really come to realize you are magic itself. The third, you stumble upon to see yourself as an eternal celebration, a song. Fourth, you would see yourself as something that matters. Have you seen when people die, after some time they don't matter to nobody? They're just an obituary column. Have you thought about it? Have you ever had a friend who dies and after some time you forget to think about him a day, you know? And then you think back, and then you think to yourself, that's my truth too. I'm going to go into oblivion someday. The fourth layer is you matter, whether you are remembered or not, you matter. Then your existence matters. This life, this death matter. It enriched something. Fifth, for the first time, you will recognize you as a spiritual nature, a spiritual being. I don't like that word, but we will use that word. Sixth, you would recognize you as oneness, that there is no separation between you and another. But all this journey is just here. It never even goes outside. It's just sitting there. You get what I'm saying? And seventh, well, they call it enlightenment or the highest recognition. All. Let's leave it at that. But humanity never begins because we have not fallen within. We have not recognized what we are doing. What is that impulse in you that makes you go out, fall in love, make money, live? What is that? What is that exercise? I am suggesting it is an exercise trying to recognize oneself. Trying to see oneself for oneself. The sacred work opens that door for you. It gives you the tool that I have discovered somehow very accidentally. But it begins with no mind. So you got to understand, I must withdraw the mind. By using the mind, I'm going to be deluded. Without the mind, I see it for myself. With the mind, I see it how others have seen it. You follow? Thus, it is absolutely important I have the capacity to look at anything without the mind, does I come into contact with it? If like I look at a rose, there's so much propaganda about rose. Too much propaganda. So when I'm looking at the rose, that propaganda is coming. Thus, I'm seeing the propaganda, not the rose. If I can remove that propaganda, I may have a contact with that rose. Follow? Very good. And that contact matters. Thus, if we enter into this bringing our mind, then we bring our neighbor and our mother-in-law into the equation. That is usually very unkind to us. If you can follow. So, it appears in this small little discussion, if at all we are interested in this path, in this journey, in this process, it seems to be a journey, a process to find the tools, the ability, the art, so I can fall within me and recognize me for me. And it is as simple as that. Have you seen humanity as a need to be recognized? Have you seen? You want somebody to recognize us. It appears to be the disease because we are unable to do so ourselves. Thus, the Buddha can sit in absolute silence in a cave and unbothered because he has come to see him for him. But it appears all this only begins when I drop the mind and begin to make real contact. Because the mind seems to take me away from me. This is the news I bring for you, if at all the speaker has to inject his view. Get in touch with you. I'm telling you, you're going to like you. You're going to find the marvel that you are. It's unbelievable. When you see a Buddha, an enlightened man, sitting silently, he's just rejoicing himself. He has come home. Whatever he found within him was him. Maybe he found God or cosmic or whatever you want to call it. But whatever he found it as him. He never found it separate from him. Thus, if we can cut clearly to see what is this journey, me finding a way to come in contact with me, me recognizing me for me, suddenly everything falls right. It becomes easy. People were asking, what is the sacred work? This is all there is to it. Because when you penetrate recognizing you, sir, finally you see the very being of you is enlightenment. That is why I would not say I'm enlightened. I will say enlightenment is me. I will not say I've attained to love. I'll say love has become me, so to say. If you can follow that word. Well, what is the mastery meditation? It's a first taste. Trying to get you there. In your silence, you come home to you. And all that you long for suddenly starts being bestowed upon you effortlessly. It's the strangest thing. You don't even have to seek it. Not only within, without too. I wonder whether you can hear me. I hope you can. This is rather important. Then all that is left to do is just utterly celebrate this life. But you must forgive me. It kind of, for many, when they listen to me, it appears boring because the drama stops. The kaleidoscope ends. The distraction vanishes. Just to be loving all the time, sometimes to some people appears boring. Just to be happy sounds not fun. I know, I've talked to many, they say. And then you go through this life. exhausting that feeling, that emotion. Is that good? Just something simply for you to explore, to put your brain into, to look into. Because when I came to it, I sometimes don't know how to express it. It was not only easy, it was so damn near. And then you become a blessing. Well, that is the effort of the school and the sacred work. Any questions? I think the error began because you saw the outside as though it's outside of you. Try to start seeing the outside as within you too. Try that method. Like you say, I went to the office. No, the office is in me also. You understand? Yeah, got it. And I think if you approach that, you never go outward. You see everything within. Yeah, you got it. You need to train your body and your being to celebrate, because it has been trained to be non-celebrative. So it's actually an unconditioning. To get the body back to how originally it is. Have you seen children? They are celebrative. We lost it. It is to actually reignite that neurons in your body. And eventually, if you do it for a couple of months, you will see you have a body that is very susceptible for celebration. Have you seen some people's body are susceptible to be loving and some people's body are not? It is a disposition. So you are recreating it. Next thing, it is also a way to move the energy. Because when you meditate, you create energy. And you always want to move the energy towards celebration, because the Sahasrara, the highest chakra, is the chakra of celebration. So it's almost wiring you. So if you do it often enough, that becomes your natural disposition. Go see a sad person. They are wired to be sad. I licked the stem, it didn't stick. I said, lick it again. And it has got many, many, Madhuri. It's to shift the energy from flowing downward to energy flowing upward. You see, whenever the energy flows downward, you are being enslaved. Whenever the energy flows upward, you are moving towards being a master. Whenever the energy flows downward, you are moving away from you. Whenever the energy moves upward, you are coming closer to you. That is why if you have a chance to celebrate, let it go. Remember, you won't need it long, maybe a couple of months, a year, whatever it takes. Then your disposition would be there. Then by just standing, you can just turn your body on into that system. First, we use physical movement. Then you can just move the inward without doing anything. Like I was talking to Peter, he said, the impression I got, I'm more happy to be silent. But most people, silent is dead because they don't know how to move the energy. If you have done this long enough, you may sit, a Buddha sits silently, but he's moving his energy. Or his energy is already moving towards Sahasrara. A person whose energy moving downward, you make him sit long enough, he will get depressed. He will get neurotic. He will have unnatural thoughts and all kinds of things will be happening in his head and he will collapse. This discipline, the way I've created it, the mastery meditation, if you do it long enough, it installs a system in you. It installs the system of observing. It installs the memory of you being a creator. It installs the risen energy state in you. Then it becomes your natural default. That's how you are. Because the highest in meditation is whatever you train you, you must be able to take it into your sleep. If you can't take it into your sleep, then in your sleep you go back to your default setting. Thus, this exercise is to reorientate you. And to also push the body to to be able to take more and more celebration and more energy. Right now, people cannot handle that much energy. People can handle very little. It's like a body can only take 1.5 volts, so to say. But in order to be enlightened, you probably must be able to take 2,000 volts. So you got to train it a little bit. It is not something you do forever. You're just doing something for a while until the body gets right. More like physiotherapy. Once you get it right, you can stop doing it. So I recommend it. My students love it. And the way I wrote that music, the way I got the music done, was I got a composer and we sat together and I said, read my inner celebration and write it as a music. And that's how the music happened. It is what I felt happening in my crown. So that's how the music was born, if you understand it. There's another series of music which is called The Sound of Silence. And that was written when they were meditating with me in my silence. So the music was born out of that. So it's just an orientation. Anything else? Come on. You will hear people's reality becoming right. Suddenly their life becomes right. Their debt is paid off or whatever. I've heard unbelievable stories. Because you're putting yourself in order, your surrounding becomes order. I've seen 100 things happen. But you need the basic fitness, so to say, inner fitness, before you can even explore higher learning. Like many times people come to me and they say, Master, teach me about meditation, enlightenment. I most of the time preparing the ground for them. Because you need a basic fitness, isn't it? Like I went snowboarding with these guys and, well, I managed to snowboard the first time and the next time I managed to fall down and hurt myself. And they kept telling me, Master, you got to go get your basic fitness up. And I think it's valid. I have to get my strength back, even if going to learn it. Just to do snowboarding, I got to first get myself walk a bit and run a bit and get my legs strong. Then I can go and start to learn and maybe it might take me another 6 months to a year before I can be in a position at the bottom of the mountain that looks rather decent. Not doing all this kung fu flying stuff. But I've got the falling down part quite well done. I can fall down relatively well. So really commit to it. I don't mean to sell it to you. I'm really deeply suggesting. Because you could use it. I've seen it to do deep tissue cleansing. I've seen it to do restore the bone structure. The people who have done it for 48 days, I have always, almost 100% of the time, I've seen major, major, major shift. You somehow become more in control over your life. You understand? You see, one of the worst things that can happen to life is life go out of control. Has that happened to you all? It goes ballistic. Everything becomes big and it's collapsing over you. It's almost like an avalanche. That is the worst state to be in. In this, your life comes to your order. And that's the base in which this temple can be built. Without that order, nothing can be done to people. Without that basic sanity, the basic order, life must work. Then we can look towards excellent. Like those days, I used to teach champion martial artists. I don't teach basic. I teach the guys who are ready to go to tournament. I usually step in to help them out. But before they even come to train with me, they must have at least had a couple of dances under their belt and done a few tournaments. If not, there's no point of me sitting there teaching him. Because what I can teach him is the highest. So the basic has to be earned, so to say. Any more questions? We'll finish in a little while. Okay, anything else? The whole has come to be. All me, as a dream can be. All love is only thing can be. I said he call it dance for pack. Record revolving, blowing out your speaker. I kick it off right, keeping it real. I keep it airtight, deep.